Our first reading, which will be familiar, I think, to many. And this is taken from the book of Revelation. It's just one verse. Revelation 3:20. And the background, as I'm sure most of you will know, is John is on the island of Patmos and is given this extraordinary vision. And there's a message, there are a number of messages that he's given in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation. And this particular verse I'm about to read to you, you'll see it up there on the screen, is an extract from Jesus' words to the church at Laodicea. And this is Jesus speaking. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me. Let me read that again. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me. So the first reading was from Revelation 3:20. And this one is a short extract from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Very familiar passage. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. And this is Jesus speaking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And it doesn't really come out so well, perhaps, in this version. But what Jesus is really saying here is, go on seeking. Go on asking. Go on knocking. It's not just a one-off. It's, you've got to keep at it, keep at it. It's not something you do just when you become a Christian and you can sit back and relax. It's keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on pressing in to him. So as I mentioned right at the start, we're going to be thinking about seeking God's presence. Or, as the Bible often puts it, seeking his face. And we're going to look at four questions in relation to this topic or subject. Why? How? Where? What? Why, how, where, and what? But before we consider these four questions, I want us, by way of introduction, to think for a moment about doors. Yep, doors, as in front doors, back doors, side doors. Now, we all have many differences, but one thing we absolutely all have in common is that we use doors every day of our lives. Nobody could have got into this building without coming through a door. But some doors are more famous than others. Everybody in the country, or every adult in the country, will recognize number 10 Downing Street. I should think there are many, many millions of people across the world who will recognize that door. And one can't help but wonder whether there's going to be a new occupant within the next year. Almost certainly, one would have thought. But what about this next door? Can you see that? Not very clear, is it? Can you see that at the back? Yeah? Do many of you recognize? Well, to be fair, it's not a door as such, is it? It's a painting of a door. It's probably difficult to see there. But let me describe it to you. Basically, this is a painting painted in 1854 by a Pre-Raphaelite painter called Holman Hunt. And the original is in Keble College in Oxford. And the painting is of Jesus holding a lamp, and if you look at his right hand, he is knocking at a door. And this painting is a picture of what Holman Hunt saw when he read Revelation 3:20, the verse that we read right at the outset. And you need to look quite carefully at that door. And we'll come back to that later. So you can see it's a bit overgrown. It's all a bit gloomy. It looks like the painting is set in the dusk or maybe the dawn. There are plants and ivy and all sorts of things growing over the door. But we will come back to that. So going back to my first question, why are we thinking and talking today about seeking the presence of God? Well, I've got two answers to that. The first response is that after Jane's induction just over a year ago as our new minister, the leaders we're trying to discern from God what we felt was the direction that he was calling us to take. And over the summer of last year, we spent a number of meetings talking about what we felt God was asking us to do, and what the direction was. We had a morning away at Mulberry House. And the conclusion that we came to was that he was asking us to seek his face, to seek his presence, and that should inform everything that we as a church do in the coming season, whether that be a year, two, or longer. In other words, we should be hungry for his presence, thirsty for it, wanting to meet him more closely, to hear his voice. So that was the first reason. And you've probably picked up, if you've been to church meetings, certainly in October, I know that Jane spoke at the quarterly church meeting about this idea that we would be seeking God's presence. But the second and more important reason we're talking about it today and thinking about it is that this is a theme that is close to God's heart. If we go back to the Holman Hunt painting for a moment, as I say, the painting represents Jesus knocking at the door as described in Revelation 3:20. I want you to note the following. You probably can't see it very clearly, but there is no door handle on the outside. Jesus cannot open the door. Only the person on the inside, which is you and me, can open it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you think about it, is Jesus is knocking on the door. Why? He's not delivering a parcel or a package. We have plenty of people come into our front doors, don't we? Another delivery from Amazon or the postman from time to time. But that's not what Jesus is doing. And he's not even delivering a message. He's wanting you and me, the person on the inside of that door, to open it. Why? To let him in. Why? To have a meal. And the point I'm trying to drive home here is that Jesus doesn't want a fleeting visit into our lives. He wants to come in. Us to get to know him as he knows us. He wants to share fellowship with us. He wants a meal with us. To sit down, take time. And this reminds me, I hope it reminds you too, of that wonderful story in Luke on the road to Emmaus on the day of the resurrection. The two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. They don't recognize Jesus, but they go into the inn, or we might say the pub almost, we don't know what it was exactly, and they sit down and share a meal. And of course, Jesus takes the bread, breaks it, and is revealed to them. Jesus wants us, not for a fleeting visit. He wants us to get to know him, to be filled by him. And so, just pausing there, the question we need to ask ourselves is, have we heard Jesus knocking on our doors? Are we listening? You might say, well, the message has all gone a bit cold. I've been a Christian for a long time. And it's all been pretty hard work, and there have been setbacks, and I'm not sure. If Jesus is knocking at your door, at our door, you must respond. You must respond. So that's why. How about the how? How do we seek his presence? And I think there are hundreds of answers to that. But one thing has come across clearly to me is that we need to develop a hunger and a thirst for him. Let me try and sort of expand this. On the whole, Jesus comes into our lives in one of two ways. This is probably a bit of a oversimplification, but just bear with me for a moment. On some occasions, to use this picture again, on some occasions, Jesus doesn't knock at the door. He crashes his way through. He barges his way through. He puts his shoulder to the door and forces his way in. Think, for example, of Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul wasn't hungering and thirsting after Jesus. Quite the reverse. Paul was on his way to arrest the early disciples and put them on trial. Jesus had another plan. And Paul was struck down, blinded temporarily, and Jesus spoke to him. So, from time to time, Jesus will, almost if you will, force his way into somebody's life. And that's a clear case of somebody whose life was completely transformed by God deciding, I have a plan for this person, and Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, as we all know. But more often than not, Jesus responds to us hungering and thirsting after him. And that means pressing on, leaning into him, even when we've been discouraged, even when prayers haven't been answered as we would like, even when they're setbacks, when things have gone wrong in our careers, our jobs, our lives, breakdowns of relationships. It would be so easy then, wouldn't it, to say, it's all too difficult. Where is God? But if we hunger and persevere and thirst, we will grow. We will sense his presence more and more. We're going to be stretched. That's how we grow as Christians. And things don't go as we would like them to do. But if we carry on pressing on, trusting, believing, we will grow. It's a bit like the pruning that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. And Jesus talks about the kingdom and how God is the gardener. And sometimes pruning has to take place. Things have to get taken out of our lives. Our lives need to be pruned. It's not pleasant. But probably all of us would say that it's at those most testing of times we've actually grown. So that's why, how, where. And the answer, of course, is here. Right here, not just in Christchurch, but here in our own lives, in our own hearts. Wouldn't it be beautiful if, over the weeks and months, the sense of worship, of awe, of reverence grew and developed here, that people, as they already do, they come into Christ Church. We've heard this numerous times over our life for Anne and me here at Christ Church. People talk about the friendliness, the welcome. But wouldn't it be wonderful if more and more people sensed the presence of God here in our services and our worship? And I can think of people who have become Christians, who've gone to churches regularly and noticed that at a particular church, that I don't know what's happening in that church, I can't account for it, but there's something different. There's something different. I'd like to encourage you too, though, if we're going to see God move in that way, we can't just turn up on a Sunday morning without praying for the service, praying for the people leading the service. Pray to be prepared to come into his presence, So we don't just wander in the last moment. Oh, right, first song. No. We need to prepare to come into the presence of the living God. And that takes time, takes practice. But it's a practice I'm hoping we can develop. One last point on this question, where? Think of all the invitations that God gives in the Bible. How often does he say, I haven't counted it up, how often does he say, come? Isaiah 55, come to me, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, come, buy and eat. Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are weary, come. John 7, at the feast of Tabernacles, I think it was, come to me, the living waters, if you are thirsty. And he promises that streams of living water will flow out of us. Let's respond to the dozens and dozens of invitations in the scriptures to come to him. So that's why, how, where, what. What is the purpose? And in case you're wondering, this is my last point. So as I mentioned previously, we might well have a new occupant in number 10 Downing Street before long. This is going to be a year of elections, certainly here in the UK and in the US. And we will hear a lot about manifestos. So what was Jesus' manifesto? Let me read his manifesto. This is from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus is in Nazareth. He's gone to the synagogue as was his custom. And someone hands him the scroll. He finds the place in Isaiah and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So that was his manifesto, if you like. And that manifesto remains the same. It's unchanged from 2,000 years ago. And what Jesus was preaching about, and why he'd linked it in with Isaiah, he was talking about lives being transformed, hearts mended, freedom for the oppressed, freedom from addiction, healing. And the manifesto that he set out then applies to us today. And again, wouldn't it be wonderful to see some of that coming into effect in our own time? And be encouraged. There are exciting things happening in Christchurch. New people coming in. The men's group. The prayer space. The encounter worship evenings, whatever the date. It's unthinkable. This time a year ago, we didn't have 60 or 70 people worshiping here on a Sunday evening. Over an hour of continual worship. So let's be encouraged to seek and to keep on seeking, to ask, to keep on knocking. There are two doors, aren't there, if you think about it in today's talk. There's the talk, there's the painting of Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts and lives. But there's also us having to do some knocking as well. We need to be seeking, asking, knocking on the door, going after Jesus, not being satisfied, hungering and thirsting after him. Let's, before we sing our next song, I'm just going to pray. So if you'd just like to be still, and let's pause for a moment or two. And here's a verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 12, where God spoke through the prophet and said, "You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Our Heavenly Father, breathe new life into our lives. Expand our hearts and our imaginations. Stir up our longing and desire for you. O God, draw us after you. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have a time of prayer, just a short time. So let us pray together. Father, I pray that if there is anyone in this building this morning who has either been knocking, seeking, asking, or hearing your voice, sensing the moving of your spirit in their mind and soul and heart, please, would you answer those prayers? Father, we pray so much that you would take us deeper into you. Father, we know that Jesus' teaching were not just words to learn to recite, but he gave power, he brought purpose. And you intend us to live out in the strength and purpose of your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray you will equip us for every good work that you want us to accomplish and fulfill. how we pray, Lord, for the coming of your kingdom in our midst. Father, that your hungry and thirsty children would find rest, freedom from oppression, anxieties relieved, the prisoner freed, the chains of bondage broken, relationships restored. Father, none of this can we do on our own. Father, we know that we are powerless and nothing without you, broken and weak vessels. Fill our imaginations, create in us new hearts, draw us closer and deeper to you, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, I want to pray especially today too for those both here and those who are not here, friends, family, people away through illness, whatever the cause. Lord, we pray especially for Andy in his treatment and his recovery. And we pray too, Father, for Ruth's brother-in-law, Jonathan, also undergoing treatment for cancer. And perhaps in the silence, you can name someone else known to you, loved by you, who is going through illness, setbacks, whatever it may be. Do great things, Heavenly Father, we pray. And so, Lord, we bring all these prayers to you now, spoken and unspoken, in our thoughts and in our hearts. And we pray them in the all-powerful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.